There's several thoughts I had here tonight, and maybe I can bring some of them across. As we know, most of us have quite a few ailments, and we all wish that we had better health, and this is for sure. But to be healthy, we've got to take care of ourselves. You know, we've got to get exercise and so on, and we've got to have food to eat. And if we eat properly, this will give us our physical strength that we need. And this is very important, but also not any less important, and maybe far more important, is our spiritual body that needs food too. And we're going to get this through the Word of God. I've written a few things down here that, physically, there's a few things we've got to have to sustain life, and we've got to have water and food. That's a necessity. And shelter. Now, there is some Indian people that lived near where Acapulco is now, not far from there anyway, maybe a few hundred miles. And when they were found, and this up in even to the 30s, they virtually had no clothes, and they ate what they could find, and their shelter was whatever they could find. They didn't really build anything, they'd done nothing. And they weren't even hunters with bows and so on, but they ate what was at hand. One fellow told me that he was there, and they had killed a deer, and to cook it, they did have fire. They had that much, and they would get the rocks real hot, and then they would put this head of a deer that they had, these hunters had killed, and they would pour hot water on it and kind of steam it, and then they'd pull it apart, and they would eat it. But they they still had to have food and water, and likely some shelter, but they virtually wore no clothes. Same as the Aborigines over in Australia virtually wear no clothes. To us, we need a few more things. We want a little better clothes and a few things we want. We want decent and good food, and we would like it to be well prepared, and we like clothes. This is something we want. We do need clothes. And oftentimes we want nicer clothes. These are things you might want. We might want a bigger house. We might want two cars. I might want more fishing poles. I don't really need any. My wife says I've got too many now, and she's telling the truth. I'd kind of like to have a camper maybe so I go fishing. And maybe a garden tractor would be nice, and surely we could mow the grass a little bit easier for me. But these are things that we'd kind of like to have. But these aren't. Some of these aren't really necessary. Food, clothes, shelter, and water is necessary. And as far as their spiritual body, there's some things we've got to have too. Things we've got to have is we've got to have faith and hope and charity, and we need wisdom and discernment and love. And you can probably think of several other things to put in with that. But these are things we've got to have. And to really be spiritually sound, then there's some things we've got to do, too. The one thing we have, after we've kind of got some of these faith and hope and all of these things, repentance is going to be coming along there. We've got to repent. We've got to be baptized. Then there's got to be the laying on of hands. And then we've got to keep the commandments. Now, these are absolutes. There's no question about that. Then there's a lot of things in the Scripture that we would like. There's a lot of things we want to know about. We need to know about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And we often wonder what Zion would be like. I think all of us have wondered about this. The time of the end, when will it be and what will it be like? I don't know what it'll be like. I really don't. And what would heaven be like? We've heard of people that have had dreams or visions where they had seen someone in heaven and knew kind of what it was like, and they said it was very, very nice. And I'm sure that these things are all true. We know that that they're going to be good. We would kind of like to know a little more about them, but it's not that important. As long as we believe that God has prepared a place for us, and we know that if he's done it, it's going to be perfect. So that's good enough there. But and I don't say that we shouldn't still search for these things. And we want to understand the prophecies in the Scripture. But we're told, too, some of them that we won't understand till the end. But I don't say that we should stop searching them. But those things, we need to search the Scripture. We know we must do that all the time. Some of these things aren't that essential. But faith, hope, and charity is a must. And we've got to repent and be baptized and have the laying on of hands and got to keep the commandments. There's no way around those. But there's some scriptures I want to read this evening that a few of them, one place here, it's in the 21st chapter of John, and I'm going to begin reading with the 10th verse. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And this was after Christ had been resurrected. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that there were so many, yet was not the net broken. They brought on all these fishes. But let's see what happens here. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Now you notice here he said, come and dine. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth it them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time Jesus showed himself unto the disciples after that it was risen, that he was risen from the dead. Now here we notice that Christ prepared to feed the people actual food, because they've got to have that. But then let's see what he goes on here and says here in the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, we know that he was not referring to run out and feed all the people with food. But he intended for them to go out and spread the gospel and feed their spirits. And that's what they went and done. And this is actually the most important thing of all. Our bodies may wither away from starvation and die if we don't have food. But if our souls do not have spiritual food, they will wither away and die, and they will be lost forever. For the body, if it has kept the commandments, even though it wither away and die, it will be resurrected again, and it will have a millennium or much more than that of time of peace and joy and happiness. I want to read over here in Psalms. Psalms has so many good verses in it and tells us some nice things. I'm going to start in the 119th Psalm. I'm going to start with the 7th verse, I guess, is a good place here. And like so much of the scripture, there's really no good place to break into these sayings and these readings and so on. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. And how important that is. Now, the Lord isn't going to forsake us if we have done that which is right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. See what he says? With my whole heart I have sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. This young man sees that it would be possible for him to wander from his commandments, but he asks him not to let him do that. And I'll assure you, if you've kept all these things, he's going to give you the strength that you might not do these things too, that you might not wander astray. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. And you know, this kind of sounds funny, the Lord teaching you his statutes. He's left these records for us. But we know, too, that oftentimes an angel has came unto people and made known unto the things they needed to know. And we know that Paul was taught the gospel. So this isn't too far-fetched. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. But oftentimes I am sure that you have, as well as I have, been reading a scripture and you've heard a still small voice, or a direction to where you knew what the scripture meant. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. See how important that is, those things, and each one of us here knows this too. If we have kept these things, they are more important to us than riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open mine eyes, that I might behold the wondrous things of thy law. This is where something important happens. See, opening our eyes, that we may see these things. After we've read them, oftentimes they may slip away from us a little, or we may not understand them. But here he's asking him to open his eyes. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh forth for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud and have cursed and the proud, that they are cursed which do err from the commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And we know we can read through this, the Psalms here, and we find words like this. But this psalmist here, he was telling us of the things that he wanted to do, and realizing all of the time that he had to have the Lord give him the strength daily to do these things. And this is what we must do daily, is to seek the Lord and have him direct us where we might go astray. I want to go over to back to the 101st Psalm here. I believe I'll begin with 103 here, or number 3 rather, pardon me. I would set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It says, I would set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That would say that we was not to seek after those things that aren't good, wouldn't it? And I wonder if that would even come down to our time in reading books that are not good, watching movies that are not good, or watching television programs that aren't good. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Telling us again, some of those things that we have been taught all of our lives in another way. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, would you say possibly that that might be gossip? Probably it is, or something similar to that. Him will I cut off. Tell us some things we should and should not do. And we know we need all of these things to be strong and to be able to withstand the evil one that attempts to lead us astray. You see, if we have that charity and love and faith and wisdom, we won't be found in this. We won't be one of the people that slandereth his neighbor, would we? You won't speak evil against one another. But that love and charity is so important there. And we know that we must seek God while he can be found. If we seek God often and keep his commandments, he won't be slow to hear. But we can search the scripture in several places where people did not keep the commandments and dire things came upon them and the Lord was kind of slow to hear. But if we seek him at all times and if we've kept the commandments, he will be there that we might find him. If we haven't, he's not going to be. I want to read a few verses from Job. Now The 23rd chapter, I'm going to read, I think 11th and 12th verses here. My foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. It kind of tells the importance of his words here, doesn't it? He has esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. So it shows how important it is to keep those commandments and to be that patient and humble people that he desires. I don't think on this things that we should have, I don't think I put patience and humility down, but we know that those all belong in there. I want to go into 3 Nephi here for a little bit. And this, of course, can be found in the Bible. It's about the same. But I just chose to read a little bit out of 3 Nephi here. And again, there's not much of a place to start or stop in this one. But I'll probably begin with about, let's begin with 52 in the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi on page 636. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now the meek would be people that would be charitable and kind and generous. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Had we ever thought of actually hungering and thirsting after these things? I think that we kind of, likely all of us here do. And if you've ever been in a place where somebody didn't ask the blessing, it kind of feels like they left something out of your meal. And but we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's so important that we just strive daily to understand it and keep those commandments. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this one here is something that, there's a few people that have this ability. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's a few people that has that ability to kind of be a peacemaker. But I think we find out through the world there's more people that has a tendency to try to declare war on something rather than to be peaceful and pleasant. But the peacemaker, some people actually have that gift, I think, that they can walk in and kind of make peace in a place. And that's a wonderful gift. I don't suppose that is actually, I don't know whether it's a gift, but some people are able to do it. And it's wonderful when they can. I want to read a little bit out of Alma in the 16th chapter. I'm trying to find the place. About 152 is where I'll begin reading. Now, as we well know, that as we go about our daily task, if we go out and work pretty hard, we become hungry. And the spiritual body, I think, becomes hungry too. Now, I have, for the most part of my life at least, we've been fairly close to some church people, and for a good many years there's been a church here. But I know some people that have been separated, as a good many of you have here, been separated from a church that was near at hand. I'm sure there was time that you just hungered and thirsted to be with people, hear the gospel, and discuss it with other people. And this is very important. We've got to search the scripture, but it's good to be with other people. We might listen to them and hear sermons that's given unto us. And we know many times that there's been sermons that's been given by inspiration, and they lift us all up. On page 423 in the 152nd verse, "Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it is a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out with your unbelief, that you will not resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. And when you feel this swelling motions, yea, or you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious unto me." And we can all relate to this as we have searched the gospel and these things have been made known unto us. Of course, here I think basically this is speaking to a person that does not understand or does not believe. And this is as it comes along. But I think that each one of us has had this happen to each one of us too. That we become more enlightened and more knowledgeable, and it just glorifies our whole soul that we are able to pick these things up and to know them. "Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, that ye must needs say that the seed is good, and behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will it not strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for ye will say, I know that this that is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow." And down here in 164, we'll skip a little of this. "And behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us." And we know that if you compare this to a tree, this is what you desire to do, that you plant the tree and try to grow it up to be good. The same as the gospel and the Spirit does for us. "And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought of its nourishment, behold, it will not get root, and when the heat of the sun cometh, it scorcheth it, because it hath no root. It withers away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out." Now this is what we don't want to have happen. But if we give place to it and allow it to grow and establish itself with this faith and wisdom and discernment and all of these things, it's going to get some root and it's going to be able to stand the storm as they come up. "Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable." That isn't why that didn't grow. "But it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof." Now what we're talking about here, we're not going to have the fruit thereof, that's the eternal life. And thus it is, if we will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye to faith to the fruit thereof, ye cannot pluck the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith with great diligence. Now that would be with a great effort, wouldn't it? With great care. And with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word, in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. Now that puts it pretty high, doesn't it? And ye shall feast upon the fruit even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the reward of your faith, and your diligence, and your patience, and your long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. And that's a very good comparison, especially for people that has a little tendency to be farmers or to grow a few things. Each one of us has planted a tree. I know we planted a plum tree over there, and it was about 4 years before we whether it was really a plum tree or not. But when last year, when Shirley picked some of the plums or prunes, whatever you call them, it was some of the best we ever had. Not very many of them, but they sure are good. But if you take care of these things and are patient, they will bring forth the fruit unto you. I want to read a little bit out of the Bible here again. I'm going to go over here to Joshua. On page 297, because that won't work in your Bible very well, will it? But it's in the 24th chapter and beginning in the 14th verse. And when we read about the exodus of the people out of Egypt and the way they lived after they was established in their land, it's really amazing that the Lord had anything to do with them. But he made a promise unto them, and he kept it. In the 14th verse here it says, "And now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Now Joshua knew what he was talking about here, didn't he? "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now then, a lot of people today, we don't believe in Buddha and the sun god and all of these. But a lot of people have other gods other than God Almighty. They have maybe boats, maybe gold, and maybe many other things. And they worship these things. But he tells them here, "And serve ye the Lord." And that's who we're to serve. "And it's, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites," which was probably many gods, "in whose land ye dwell. But for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." And we know that it wasn't too long after Lot had separated and went down into the land, maybe several years, that he kind of drifted off into Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't they? Their family, apparently, basically their whole tribe, turned away from the Lord and served other gods. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Isn't it strange these people would say that? I don't really believe that a lot of them really meant it, but a lot of them probably did too. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up out of, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the day wherein we went, and among all of the people through whom we passed. Isn't it funny that they would bring these things up? They was aware of this, but we know that they didn't do it very well. And we know today, when we look around about us, there's lots of people who profess the Lord. In fact, I think probably most people, if you pin them down, will admit that they believe in the Lord. But a lot of people don't do much about it. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And it pretty well tells us here what we should do and how we should go. We should serve the Lord our God. It's easy to fall into entrapments that will lead us astray. Little things that we don't consider very important can take us astray. And it takes us a little at a time. We've had many sermons preached to us about how Satan will lead us astray and how quick he can do it. But when he does these things, he doesn't appear unto us to be evil. He appears almost as a beacon of light, and he will start to lead us a little bit. And if we do not have that discernment, we could be led astray. And the things that we've got to have discernment, is we have to have wisdom, and we have to have charity also. I don't think the Lord's going to give discernment unto people that don't have charity and that don't have hope and don't have faith, and above all to people that do not have love. If we don't love our fellow man, it's a cinch that we're not going to have these other things. But if we do these, our spiritual body will be filled and it will be blessed. The same as if we have food to eat, our physical body can receive strength. But if we seek the Lord daily, keep his commandments, walk uprightly before him, our spiritual body will be fed too. Thank you.
Wednesday evening we will have scripture study here at 7 o'clock. Let us turn to song number 283. Let us stand.